Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Greenpanel Q2 and H1 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishab Barar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Barar.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Greenpanel Industries Q2 and H1 FY23 conference call. We have with us today Mr. Shobhan Mittal, Managing Director, and Mr. V. Venkatramani, CFO. Before we begin, I would like to state that some statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. A detailed statement in this regard is available in the result presentation that was sent to you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Shobhan Mittal to begin the proceedings of the call. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rishab. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us to discuss Greenpanel's operating and financial performance for quarter two FY23. We had good revenue growth of 11.66% year-on-year in quarter two. MDF segment saw revenue growth of 17.8%, while plywood revenue saw degrowth of 16.6%, although volumes were subdued. Net sales stood at rupees 456.12 crores. MDF gross margins improved by 205 basis points. Plywood gross margins fell by 279 basis points, leading to an overall increase of 211 basis points in gross margins year-on-year. EBITDA margins were down by 96 basis points at 27.3% due to raw material cost increases and significant fall in plywood volumes. PAT is up by 8.05% year-on-year to rupees 272.46 crores. Net working capital days at 24 days has shown an increase of 10 days compared to the year-on-year quarter. Net debt has reduced by rupees 42 crores during the quarter and stands at negative rupees 59 as on 30th September 2022. We also made advance payments of rupees 30.5 crores during Q2 against the expansion project. For FY 2023, we are guiding for 12% volume growth for MDF in the domestic markets, although export volumes are expected to be flat. We expect to improve, maintain the operating margins in MDF and plywood as volumes pick up in the subsequent quarters. Mr. Venkatramani will now run you through the financials in greater detail, post which we will have a Q&A session.
Good afternoon, everyone. I thank you for joining us to discuss the Q2 FY23 financial performance of Greenpanel Industries. In Q2, net sales increased by 11.66% year-on-year at rupees 456.12 crores. MDF sales grew by 17.8% at 395.09 crores and contributed 87% to the top line. MDF sales volumes were lower by 7.9% at 126,232 cubic meters due to reduction in export volumes. MDF domestic revenues were rupees 333.85 crores, while exports contributed rupees 61.24 crores. MDF domestic volumes were 99,495 cubic meters, up from 92,144 cubic meters in the corresponding period last year, while export volumes were 26,737 cubic meters. Domestic realizations were up by 24% at ₹33,554 per cubic meter, while export realizations were higher by 21% at ₹22,906 per cubic meter. Blended MDF realizations were up by 28% at ₹31,299 per cubic meter. Uttarakhand MDF operated at 83% and AP plant operated at 70% with blended capacity utilization at 74% on enhanced capacity of 660,000 cubic meters. Plywood sales degrew by 16.6% at rupees 61.03 crores. Plywood sales volumes were down by 22.1% at 2.04 million square meter, and the unit operated at 68% capacity utilization during the quarter. Plywood sales realizations were up by 7.2% at rupees 299 per square meter. In Q2 FY23, gross margin increased by 211 basis points year-on-year at 58.6%. Gross profit increased by 15.8% at rupees 267.43 crores. EBITDA margins were lower by 96 basis points at 27.3%. EBITDA in value terms grew by 7.86% at rupees 124.35 crores. Profit after tax increased by 8.05% at rupees 72.46 crores versus rupees 67.06 crores in the corresponding year-on-year quarter. I'll now provide an update on the performance details for H1 FY23. Net sales grew by 29.8% at rupees 918.87 crores. MDF sales increased by 33.5% at rupees 786.99 crores, while plywood sales increased by 11.3% at rupees 131.88 crores. Gross margins were up by 373 basis points at 60.1%. Gross margin in value terms was up by 38% at rupees 552.37 crores. EBITDA margins were up by 258 basis points at 28.6% compared to 26.1% in the year-on-year period. EBITDA in value terms increased by 42.6% at rupees 263.14 crores. Post-tax profits were up by 55% at rupees 150.06 crores. Overall, MDF sales volumes were flat at 251,260 cubic meter with blended capacity utilization of the two plants at 78% compared to 76% in the year-on-year period. Dispatches for plywood increased by 4.3% at 4.56 million square meters with capacity utilization at 79% compared to 77% in the corresponding period. Gross debt to equity stands at 0.18 as on 30th September 2022 compared to 0.42 as on 30th September 2021. Net debt reduced by 119 crores during the 6 months period and currently stands at negative rupees 59 crores as on 30th September 2022. That concludes my presentation. Please open the floor for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Dalal & Broacha Stockbroking Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, on the imports. So in the month of September, we have seen quite a bit of a rise in the import volumes of MDF. So would you be having any data whether what type of MDF and where exactly is this being imported? And another related question is what's the strategy to deal with the imports coming back now that our volumes have also been impacted? So do you envisage going forward that our overall capacity utilization would be on a lower end?
See, as far as the imports were concerned, imports were higher at approximately 13,600 cubic meters in September compared to around 3,000 cubic meters in the previous months of June and July. But it could also be one factor due to logistic reasons. I think we'll have to wait for at least a couple of months more to assess whether imports are indeed increasing or whether it was a one-off case. As far as our performance were concerned, imports did not impact our volumes. You know, to compare volumes were quite similar in quarter two as compared to Q1. And any reduction was only on the export side. So there's been no impact on our domestic volumes at all.
Okay. And on the margin end, so one of the peer company is of the opinion that in the longer, medium to longer term, the operating margins would be in the range of, say, 18% to 20%, while there is another company which is saying that the operating margins would be in the range of 25% to 27%. So what's your take on that? So what do you feel in the medium term the margins would look like? Obviously, the margins right now are at a peak.
Say, I won't say they are at a peak. I would say they were probably at peak during quarter four of last year or quarter one of first of the current year. But currently, I won't say they are at peak. So I think you know, for the next 18 months, we should be able to maintain margins at this level. But I agree with you that you know, long-term sustainable margins would be around 27-28%.
Okay. And any price hikes that have been planned, are we planning to take any hike in the MDF segment?
No, we have not taken any price hike in quarter two. And at the moment, we are fairly comfortable on the gross margin side. So we are not looking at any immediate price increases.
Okay. Okay. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, we request you to please limit your question to two per participant. Should you have any further questions, you may please join the queue back. The next question is from the line of Dhananjay Bagrodia from ASK Group. Please go ahead.
So would you say for realization, what would sustain?
See, I think realizations are sustainable at this point of time. We have been able to sustain realizations during the past 3 months. And although we were not able to increase realizations, although there was a corresponding increase in raw material costs, but at this point of time, we don't feel that, you know, realizations would trend lower.
Dhananjay, do you have any further questions? As there is no response.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can.
And so would you have any, in terms of volume, guidance for the, like, let's say next year, FY24, considering we will be steady state, and how would that ramp up?
See, it's difficult to give a guidance for any particular year, but we have been guiding for a 14-15% volume growth on a 3-year or a 5-year basis. So I think we'll continue to be in that range.
Okay. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Karan Bhatelia from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, on the export side, you know, this is the second consecutive quarter where we are at somewhat 26,000 cubic meter. So correct to assume for the full year as well, we'll be clocking such averages?
No, I think we can probably increase the export volumes in quarter three and quarter four. So I think, you know, we possibly did around 125,000 cubic meters last year, although it was higher in H1 as compared to H2. But I think on a year-on-year basis, export volume should be flat in FY23 as compared to FY22. So, which means that we should basically be around that 125,000 cubic meters mark.
Right, right. And any dealer distribution addition for the first half?
No, I haven't really, you know, obtained that data because we normally obtain it on an annual basis. So I'll update you next week.
Okay. And just to continue on this, any target for the branding expense, which was 18 crores for the previous year.
Excuse me?
Sales and branding expenditure, which was 18 crores in FY22. You know, any guidance for the current year?
I'm sorry, your voice is breaking. Could you please repeat that?
Sales and branding expense for FY22 was 18 crores.
You're saying marketing expenditure?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think marketing expenditure this year should be around the same level of 1 to 1.25% on sales, and we'll possibly be looking at an increase in the next year. We'll also targeting some ATL activities next year, so that will possibly see an increase in sales and marketing expenditure from around 1% to maybe 2.25%.
Thank you. We'll move to the next question from the line of Udit Gajwala from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for taking up my question. Sir, could you reiterate that what kind of margin guidance did sir mention in the opening commentary?
Yeah. Mr. Shobhan Mittal said, we are targeting similar margins to what we achieved in Q2 for the rest of the year. And, next year would possibly, depending upon the volumes we are able to, the increase in volumes we are able to achieve, we should be looking at either improving or maintaining the margins.
Understood, sir. And sir, on this 660,000 which we'll be having for CETL FY24 post, which only we'll having the new capacity, so what could be the peak utilization we can expect from this unit on 660 altogether?
Okay. On the manufacturing side, there are no restrictions. We can have the full capacity utilization subject to the mix of value-added products remaining in the same proportion as it is today. But I think if you look at the next financial year, we should be targeting somewhere between 640,000 to 660,000 cubic meters.
Understood. And so this last part, in last call you had mentioned that demand could be subdued given the higher interest cost and everything. So what gives the confidence for us to, grow the domestic volumes in H2 and also similar for FY24?
Okay. If you recall, I mentioned at the time, there could be an impact because of frequent rate increases by the RBI. But what I also mentioned was that we expect it to be for a short term, maybe for a couple of quarters, not for an extended period of time. So I think that's why we are giving a positive growth guidance.
Got it, sir. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Nikhil Gada from Abacus Asset Managers LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, just a bit from a more broader perspective. Now that we have more or less got an understanding of all the other peers who have come up with their capacity announcement, can you sort of guide for the next two and a half years how the supply demand equation would stand and how much of a capacity absorption time would it take for the entire new capacity to get absorbed? And in that, if you can factor in imports as well, at what level of imports you think the demand supply would be in equilibrium?
Okay, so it's difficult to predict what imports would be for a slightly longish period of time. So I'll base my reply on if imports remain at more or less the current level. So if you look at the current situation, so at the end of FY22, domestic capacities were about 2.34 million cubic meters, and we expect that to reach about 3.4 million cubic meters by the end of FY25, which means approximately 47% increase on current capacities over the next 2.5 years. And we think that these capacities should be fully absorbed by FY26 or max by FY27.
Understood, sir. But in this, you are factoring in that the imports would remain at the current levels of around 7-8%, right?
That's correct.
Understood. And in case, you know, because we had seen the reason, you know, the entire street is concerned about the level of imports, because in FY18-19, we used to see exports upwards of close to 35-40%. And by any chance, do you foresee, you know, these imports level even going to 20%, given that at that point of time, I don't think there was so much capacity in place in India?
See, I'll explain to you, you know, why it's difficult to predict imports. I can give you reasons why imports were higher in the past, primarily because we had very few capacities in the domestic markets. And, you know, most of them were, you know, set up in North India. And imports used to happen more or less in the port areas of southern and western India. Now, imports have been falling over the past few years. So there's various reasons why imports have been falling. There were logistics issues, you know, containers and ships getting stuck up at ports, steep increase in ocean freight costs, then sustained increase in international MDF prices, replacement of China by Vietnam and Indonesia's furniture exporters to the US and Europe, you know. So there's not one single reason why imports were high, or, you know, why imports have been falling over the past 2 years. So there's multiple reasons, and, you know, you cannot really imagine, you know, what a change in one factor could have an impact on imports. Like two factors could change, one factor could change, or three factors could change. No, so there would be different level of impact for each change. So that's why it's difficult to predict how imports would behave over the next 2 to 3 years.
Understood. And so just one last question on what would be our value-added mix this particular quarter?
In this particular quarter, it was about 49% on a volume basis. And on a value basis, it was about 60%.
Okay, sir. I'll come back in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
The next question is from the line of Manan Shah from Money Bee Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity.
Sorry to interrupt, Manan. Manan, your voice is not very clearly audible. If you're using your phones or headset, we request you to kindly speak through the handset mode.
Yeah, sure. Am I audible now?
Not very clear still.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, now, yes.
Yeah. So, is there any difference in the landed cost of the imports versus the domestic realization that we are achieving?
Yes, I think if you compare apple to apple, then there would be about 8 to 10% pricing difference between domestic and imports.
So the imports would be 8 to 10% cheaper.
8 to 10% cheaper. That's correct.
Okay, and these imports are primarily of the plain vanilla MDFs, or even value-added products are getting imported.
Majority would be of the plain industrial MDF, and there would be a few small shipments of pre-laminated MDF. But you don't have the value-added products, you know, or at least it's insignificant as far as the scrub grade and the exterior grade are concerned.
Understood. So if at all, just hypothetically, if at all imports increase even further from here onwards, and if at all it affects our plain vanilla MDF volume, so is it possible for us to further increase the value-added mix, or you think at current levels it is difficult to go beyond?
No, I would say it's difficult to predict what can happen, you know, because 2 years back our value-added mix was around 30%, and at that point of time we felt that it was a fairly high figure. But like I mentioned, in this, in the current quarter, it was about 50% on a volume basis, about 61% on a value basis. And even if you look at the first half of the current year, it's about 49% on a volume basis and 60% on a value basis. So it's difficult to predict, you know, how far the value mix can improve. although our internal targets are to take this up from about 50% to about 65%.
On the volume side?
On the volume side, correct.
Okay. And let's just last question on the raw material inflation. So you were earlier, you used to indicate inflation on the raw material prices. So do you see those stabilizing and now on a downward trend, as you know, oil prices also stabilized and has come down from the peak. So our recent prices as well as on our timber prices, if you can just throw some light on.
Yes, we don't see any further inflation in raw material prices.
And are they on a decreasing trend or have they stabilized?
We have seen some decline in the resin prices, but we have not seen any decline on the timber side.
Okay. Since you are very confident of maintaining your margins that you have achieved in Q2.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
No, you're not. You have to speak higher.
Hi, sorry. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Thank you so much for taking my question. First, I just want to ask that our revenue guidance of last year around 2,000 crore top line target, would that be achievable with some decline in exports, or do we see any change in that part?
I think we'll probably be somewhere between 1900 to 1950 crores.
So not any major impact. So that's right.
No, nothing major.
And a broader based question around, like, currently we have, like, as mentioned, our domestic capacity in general for whole India would be around 2.3 million cubic. So at what point would imports be able to cannibalize it? So what would be the domestic demand of the country, and at what point would imports start, hurting domestic players? Could that be,
against the current capacity of 2.3 million cubic meters, demand would probably be around 1.9 million cubic meters. It's like I mentioned, the variety of reasons why imports were higher in the past or have declined during the past 2 years. So it's difficult to, predict a trajectory for imports, whether we'll see rising imports or falling imports in the future.
So demand is a bit a shade lower than our current capacity. So we're seeing still with the number of capex additions that other players and we are doing. So do we see any competition which will, lead to realizations being lower? Because if the demand is not as much as supply, then there would be some kind of price war. Would that be a fair assumption?
If you look at FY22, when we had that, capacity of 2.3 million cubic meters, capacity utilizations were around 77%. And by the time all these new capacities are, ready and operating, so by the end of FY25, we expect that capacity utilization will be back around 77%. So we don't see any major, gap between demand and supply, which will have a significant impact on prices. And also, I think, from past experience, managements of different companies have realized that it does not, pay to cut prices. You don't gain market share by reducing prices. So I think yes, they'll be much more responsible as far as pricing is concerned in future.
Thank you. That question.
Thank you.
All the best for the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kumar, Infinity Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, and congratulations for a steady set of numbers. Sir, my question was more around the capital allocation. Given the fact that we are now generating cash flows on a predictable basis and our visibility for the next 4-6 quarters is strong, our cash flows are significantly higher than what we will need even for the expansion project that we are talking about, at 100 crores per quarter run rate. In terms of a capital allocation policy, how are you guys thinking about it? Are you thinking about a larger dividend payout, or are you thinking about a buyback, or what is your thought process around that, sir?
See, as far as dividend is concerned, I think you know, the board will take a view depending upon profits and utilization of cash flows over the next 12 months. And as far as the utilization of surplus cash flows is concerned, like we'll be investing approximately 600 crores over the next 18 to 20 months on the expansion project. So I think we will not be having any surplus cash flows up to FY24. And beyond that, I think yes, the policy is clear. So if we have any avenues which will help to increase the investment value for the shareholder, we will opt to invest in new capacities. And if we feel that it's not really profitable to invest in new capacities, we will return money to the shareholders either by way of dividends or buyback.
So if I look at it today, we seem to have 300 crores of cash on the books. And over the next 6 quarters, if we are generating, operating at current levels, we will generate at least 100 crores of cash flow per quarter, which means over the next 6 quarters, 600 crores of cash flow will be generated. Which will be, and obviously on the new plant, I think last call you mentioned that you'll be taking some amount of debt as well. So in which case, obviously the cash flows are significantly higher, and the 300 crores of current cash is obviously sitting and depressing the ROCs of the business. So given the fact that your stock price is also collected almost 40-odd% from the peak, given, what we would suggest is if you guys should think about a distribution of the cash to the shareholders either through a buyback or some other mechanism, so that both the ROCs and everything else is kind of sustained.
Okay, at the moment, there's nothing to complain as far as the return ratios are concerned. ROCs continue to be robust even in the current quarter. So I think, like I mentioned earlier, the management will evaluate opportunities from time to time. And whenever there's a feeling that we cannot deploy cash flows profitably in new ventures, we would return cash to shareholders.
So any thought process of diversification away from MDF, any other plans as of now that you guys are thinking about, in particle board or plywood or anything else that you guys are thinking about?
Shobhanji, can you take that, please?
We are just at this point of time at a very infancy stage of exploring other avenues, but there are no concrete plans at this point of time. We are just exploring business opportunities in other avenues, but there are no concrete plans as at this point of time.
And Shobhanji, if I may ask, push my luck further, will it be more towards the larger plywood segment or the particle board, the more capital intensive particle board side?
It could actually be neither. So, like I said, I mean, definitely given the plywood market scenario at this point of time, we are not very inclined for any, growth in organic growth, at least in the plywood segment. At this point of time, that's all I can say. And we're still continuing to explore other business opportunities.
All right. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Abhishek Ketham from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the question. Is this audible?
Yeah, you are. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my question was regarding my, as we discussed earlier, industry will be a lot of competitors putting up capacity by 2025-2026. And also on the alternative side, on the MDF side, on particle board, there are a lot of less putting capacity. So do we see there's a sort of a shift towards MDF to particle board, or if particle board capacity is also increased, do we see the industry dynamics changing, or how do you view this?
See, particle board capacities were existing in India even before MDF came into the country. So it's been there for a much longer period of time. And there are limitations to particle board applications which you do not find with MDF and plywood. MDF and plywood can replace wood in all applications, whereas particle board has limited applications. So because of significantly lower density, it's primarily used for vertical applications where there would not be requirement of any substantial load bearing capacity. And it's not used in horizontal applications where there would be requirement of significant load bearing capacity. So particle board has existed for quite a longish period of time. So we don't think it will replace MDF in any applications as far as the future is concerned. So it's already being employed for certain applications.
Okay. Do we see green panel getting into MDF after this new round of CapEx? Are there any future discussions? Or will you stick
with that? Yeah, we are exploring new opportunities, but nothing we can discuss right now. It's very initial stages.
Okay. And also the last question was, sir, regarding our exports, our realizations in domestic and exports are there's a big difference. So who are we exporting mostly, any geography certain flavor?
Okay, there are reasons for difference in pricing between domestic and exports. One is there is a pricing difference on an apple to apple basis. Export realizations would be about 15% lower as compared to domestic. And the other is the proportion of value added products in exports is insignificant, whereas it's at a fairly high percentage in the domestic markets. Like I mentioned earlier, almost 50% of our volumes in the domestic markets constituted value-added products, whereas it would be insignificant in exports. So, yes, there is a significant difference between domestic and exports for the reasons I mentioned.
Thank you. We'll move to the next question from the line of Nikhil Agrawal from BT Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So I had a couple of questions. So I believe you are the only manufacturer of thin MDF in India, and it is the thin MDF that is being imported more. So is kind of a threat to you. So going forward, is it possible for you to switch your capacity from thin MDF to thick MDF?
Your information is incorrect. We are not the only manufacturer for thin MDF. Everyone manufactures thin MDF.
If you look at our proportion, almost 70% of our MDF is of the thick category. Only 30% is thin.
Yes, sir.
We are actually a very small manufacturer of thin MDF as a percentage of capacity.
Yeah, so sir, for that capacity, the 30%, can you switch that capacity to manufacturing thick MDF, or is it you can only manufacture thin MDF from that?
No, it's absolutely possible. The production line that we have is completely flexible to convert from thin to thick or thick to thin, depending on the market demand. But at the same time, assumption that imports are primarily happening in thin MDF is also incorrect. There is a fairly large amount of thick MDF also coming into the country. In fact, imports, at least the bigger consumers, the OEMs, etc., do not consume a lot of thin MDF. They primarily consume thick MDF.
Thick MDF. Okay, sir. So, and my second question was on the plywood segment. So what exactly went wrong during the quarter? I mean, your gross margins fell down. So was it because of the price hike? Have you taken any price hikes, or is it because of the timber prices that have increased? What was the reason, and what is the guidance going forward?
Okay. We have taken a small price increase of 2% in July. So, you know, that was insufficient to take care of the inflation on the raw material side. So that's why we saw a significant fall in the gross margins.
Okay. And so do we expect margins to improve going forward, or will it be?
Yeah, we do expect margins to trend back to about 10%, you know, in future quarters.
Okay. Like, from the immediate, from this Q3, or from FY 24, going forward?
Q3 is not a very strong quarter because of the festival season. So I think, you know, we'll see the improvement in Q4.
Thank you. Participants, we request you to please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have any questions, you may join the queue back. The next question is from the line of Bismit Nayak from RW Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes. Sir, what would be the export volumes for this year?
You mean for the first half or the full year?
No, sir. For Q1 23, and Q1 FY 23, and Q2 FY 23.
Okay. For Q1, it was 26,600, and for Q2, it was 24,997. So for H1, it was 51,597.
Okay. Sir, one related question to that is, I think most of our exports go to Middle East nations, right? And crude being where it is, one would expect that their economies would hold and the drop in realizations and improvement in volumes. I mean, volumes should improve and realizations should at least remain stable. Is that understanding correct or what?
Shobhanji, can you take that, please?
Sorry, can you please repeat that? I didn't fully catch that.
Yes, sir. So crude being where it is, and most of our exports, in my understanding at least, goes to Middle East nations. So volume decline and your realizations decline, I mean, does it not look opposite to the thesis? I mean, what is going wrong over there, or is it non-Middle East country?
No, I think what is happening is basically, with the lull around other markets, you know, the Middle East is heavily dependent on Asia for its supplies of MDF. So, basically, additional volumes which were being consumed in more lucrative markets from producers in Thailand and Malaysia are now being diverted to the Middle East, which is resulting in, you know, oversupply there and also some, at some point, to some level of pricing pressure, which is why there has been a reduction in the export volumes. But it's not because there is a, you know, a subdued demand or anything of that sort. The demand is fairly robust even today. It's just that, you know, producers who were not supplying to the Middle East are now focusing on the Middle East, and there is an oversupply because of that.
Sir, if I recall our conversation, I recall your past commentary also. I mean, we use better quality of wood than Middle East nation, sorry, Southeast Asian nations, and we get preference in priority in selection, not in pricing. So is that not playing out now, or are they discounting at a much higher level compared to us?
Yeah, I mean, eventually it is a commodity end of the day, you know. If someone is offering apples, you know, a similar price points, then obviously we would get that preference. But, you know, if the pricing pressure comes in and someone starts offering a lower pricing, then these benefits basically get eroded out. The people don't consider these.
Yes. Okay. And one last question, sir, on MDF. What kind of inflation did we see in wood?
Venkatji, do you want to get that?
I think, you know, as far as inflation in raw material is concerned, I think it's almost at its peak. So we don't see any significant increase in raw material prices.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priyam Kimawat from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Jinshan. Just wanted to understand, last year we got some EPCG benefit which contributed to around 2% of our margins. So this year, any such thing is there, or these are margins without that?
These are margins without that because we had exhausted our EPCG obligations in March 2022. So the current year margins are without any EPCG benefits.
Okay, that's great that we've been able to maintain margins despite that removal. Just on the other part, on your guidance, you highlighted that for the next 18 months, we're expecting similar kind of margins that for the next 6 quarters, and after that, it can fall to around 27-28%. So why is that, like, why is that we think that next 6 quarters margin will be higher? In fact, capacity additions are higher in the coming 6 quarters from Century, from Green Ply. So why is that we think that margin will be maintained?
Okay. So if you look at, you know, like I mentioned, the next 18 months, most of these capacities would probably come up in the second half of the next financial year. You know, so there's not much capacity addition coming up over the next 12 months. And the second point is, like I mentioned, we have given a positive guidance on the volume side. So that's the reason why we expect to, you know, increase or maintain our margins.
Understood. So just operating leverage will play out on the next 1 lakh or 1,25,000 CBM, which we said in FY24. Is that understanding correct?
That's correct.
So even at 4-5% realization drop, I think we'll be able to maintain our margins at current levels because of the operating leverage playing out.
That's correct.
Okay, sir. So that's all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ankur Nahata, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yeah.
Hi. My question is to the entrepreneur. Are you looking for any forward integrations?
Like I said, you know, we are currently, you know, exploring other business opportunities, but they are at a very, at an infancy stage. You know, at this point of time, obviously the focus is on the new plant, on the new line expansion at Andhra Pradesh, the new MDF line that we are setting up. But simultaneously, while that work is ongoing, we are exploring other avenues, both in terms of value addition, forward integration, as well as independent business, but related businesses. So these are just under exploration stage at this point of time.
Okay. So as a new plant come up, how are we increasing the awareness, or we are building communities as volumes degrew this year of MDF? So if we...
Volumes have degrown primarily on account of the export business, as we have mentioned. However, on the domestic side, the demand has been fairly robust. And like Mr. Venkat mentioned, you know, we are also planning on increasing awareness next year, especially focus on brand building by way of, you know, ATL promotions, etc. So that would be the focus. Also, do keep in mind that the new line that we are investing into is primarily a thin MDF production line. I mean, the focus of that line would be production of thin MDF. That is a segment which we currently don't, you know, we are not present in the south of India in our existing Andhra Pradesh line, because that line does not produce thin MDF. So that is a market segment where we are currently not present in very actively in the south of India. So that that market would immediately be available for us to take some market share away from that. That was the logic of investing into the thin MDF line in the south of India.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That answers my question.
The next question is from the line of Vipin Taneja, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Yes, you are.
Yes. Yeah. Sir, the ADD has been removed in this current year, and the freight costs are dropping. And your plant is also in South India, Andhra's. So do we see good export competition on that front, sir?
Well, the anti-dumping has been removed for some time now, to be honest with you. It hasn't been, and even when it was present, it was not a blanket ban, so it wasn't really helping to a very large extent. But, freight had gone higher. It has come down. But, import threat would be always be limited to the coastal markets for that matter. The moment the material starts transporting more inland, the additional freight required to do that makes them, at par or not competitive with us. At the same time, people have, with the current currency situation, which is very volatile, people have realized that the importers, it's always, a situational kind of a business, but it's not a long-term kind of scenario. So many importers who used to have a 100% business model based on imports have now moved to domestic producers. So it will always be some level of competition, but I won't say that it is, it is a very serious matter of concern. That will always prevail.
Okay. And sir, my second question was that the entire global market is shifting gradually towards from MDF to particle board, or the percentage of particle board in the entire market and the exports and the production volume sales is particle board is a much higher segment compared to MDF, and the market is gradually moving towards that. And we have been reading articles that MDF is a makeshift arrangement, and gradually the market will shift towards particle board. And can you shed some light on this? Or my understanding is wrong?
No, I think that information is absolutely incorrect. And MDF is a far superior product to particle board. Particle board always, if you take 100 panels, 70 panels would be particle board and 30 panels would be MDF. Traditionally, all across the world, that has been the scenario, So particle board has always been a 2:1 ratio to MDF, historically and even today. So there is no shift happening, like Venkat mentioned earlier as well, that the particle board applications are very, very limited. To certain tabletop applications and vertical applications, but they cannot replace solid wood, they cannot replace plywood. So MDF is the product that is as versatile enough to replace all these other applications. At the same time, if you look at countries like the Middle East, or climatic conditions play an important role here. Countries where weight is considered quality. Like India is one of those countries where weight is considered quality. In that case, people give a preference to particle board. In the Middle East countries, there is zero particle board. The whole market is dominated by MDF. So it all boils down to, market preferences and application styles and usage of materials. But this claim that the market is shifting from MDF to particle board is absolutely untrue.
And what is your take on India's share of particle boards versus MDF? Like, is it going to be same?
Particle board in India has been existing for a much longer period than MDF. It's obviously a much cheaper product as well. So obviously the volume currently, in terms of engineered panels, particle board is higher. But as we see the volumes of plywood reducing, the unorganized segment getting more and more uncompetitive, that segment is not going to shift to particle board, because that will, for example, carpenters will not start using particle board when plywood is becoming more and more expensive and more uncompetitive. They will start shifting to MDF, not to particle board.
Thank you. We'll move to the next question from the line of Prasheel Shah from Kitara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So our MDF margins are sitting at close to all-time high, upwards of 30%. You have explained why you think they will remain stable for the next 12 to 18 months and why they will fall down later on. What are some of the risks that you see because of which margins can deteriorate from these levels over the next 12 months and move closer to 27%, 28% faster than you think it will? What are some of these reasons?
See, the only thing, which could disturb the margins is demand. No, so if demand starts to fall down substantially, we would have capacity utilizations at much lower level, which would, lead to lower margins. So that's the only risk I can visualize at this point of time.
Okay, and then what are we doing differently than others that will help us protect these margins at these levels in the near future?
See, it's not like, we are the only ones who are earning high margins. So, if you look at, the organized competitors, apart from Rushil, I think their margins are, closer to us. And Rushil's margins would be lower due to a mix of lower pricing and lower capacity utilization.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
The next
Thank you.
Question is from the line of Diksha Agarwal from Equitymaster. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is.
Sorry, Diksha, your voice is not audible.
Is it better now?
Yes, better now. Please go ahead.
Okay. So my question is related to the capacity expansion of 600 crores. Sir, in which year do you see it start getting reflected in the revenue? And by which year do you expect, the utilization to be close to maximum level?
So we expect commercial production to start in Q1 FY25, and we expect optimum capacity utilization in FY27.
Okay. And sir, considering, I think you mentioned that this capacity would be dedicated to thin MDF. So I just wanted to understand in terms of profitability, is it very different from your current product versus what you are going to get in this new capacity?
No, there's no significant change in profitability. It will be almost similar.
Okay. And sir, in your presentation, in one slide, you have mentioned that, the value-added mix is at 12% for the first half year. So just wanted to understand from a 2 to 3 year perspective, do you see this shift, do you see this mix shifting more towards value-added, or do you expect the ratio to broadly remain the same?
I'm not sure where you have seen that. So, like I mentioned earlier during this call, our value mix in the MDF segment is around 49-50% in volume terms and about 60% in value terms. And the value-added mix in the plywood business is around 10-12%.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhananjay Bagrodia from ASK Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. Just a follow-up question. So what was the exceptional item we had this quarter?
Okay. There were actually two exceptional items. One was, if you recall, we had, when we demerged from Greenply, we had made a provision for, excise duty, which may be payable by Greenply Industries. We had made a provision of about 10.8 crores. And, as per the terms of the demerger agreement with Greenply, that liability did not crystallize by March 2022, then Greenpanel would not be liable to, share that liability. So since that demand did not happen by March 2022, we wrote off that liability. And the second part is, the Andhra Pradesh Electricity Board had installed a transformer on our site. So as part of the agreement, we had to hand over that plot of land with the assets on it to the AP Electricity Board. So the first, the liability reversal was 10.8 crores and the write-off of assets due to that gift to the Andhra Pradesh Electricity Board was about 4.5 crores. So the net impact is around 6 crores.
So why did we have to give them a gift? I didn't get that part, sorry.
So it's because, you know, they have also installed assets on that and they will be maintaining those assets that we had to give.
Sure.
No, basically I'll explain that more in detail if you allow me. So
yeah.
Basically when we had set up, when we had set up this plant because of the remote location of the land that we had two choices. One choice was to bring a 33 kV line from an existing substation which was very far away, okay, which would have costed us a much larger sum as opposed to there was already a 400 kV line available close by to our manufacturing location. So what the proposal that was made was that we bring the 400 kV line next to our plant and create a new substation which was far more economical. But because a substation generally is a government asset, it was agreed upon that post the creation of the substation which was at our cost, the asset would get transferred to the government because that is the regulation. But the whole idea was economics or reduction in capital investment.
And would we get reimbursed completely in terms of what our capex was, or how is that done? In terms of
no, we won't get any reimbursement. That's why we wrote off that.
There's no reimbursement.
Okay, fine. And so what would be the tax rate for next year?
Approximately 25%.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Nikhil Gada from Abacus Asset Managers LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the follow-up. So just a couple of questions. So when you say that we expect export to be flat for FY23, then we are talking about a growth of somewhere around 70-odd%, 65-70% in the second half of FY23. And while you mentioned that we are already seeing a lot of supply in Middle East, what gives us this confidence that we'll be able to achieve this kind of growth?
We have already got some orders in hand which will be executed during the current quarter. And those are significantly higher than what we executed in the first half of the year. And we expect those to be sustainable. So that gives us the confidence that we'll be able to match the export volumes achieved last year.
And the realizations would be at similar levels, right? Or we are seeing an even further price increase in some
No, price. Like Shobhanji mentioned, that due to, the reduction in export of MDF to Europe from Asia, exports to the Middle East have increased. So that will lead to a lower realization in future quarters.
Okay. And just secondly, on plywood front, for second quarter, apart from the margin impact, the volume impact has also been quite significant. We have seen almost close to 20% decline. Any specific reason? Was it because of slower demand or was it some amount of destocking by the channel because of the way, the prices increased and the demand was slow?
I think it was primarily, there was a demand slowdown in July and August. So that was the primary reason, I think.
And you expect this to improve going forward, or you still feel that 3Q would also be similar?
I don't see any significant improvement happening in Q3 because, October was again disturbed due to the festival season. And normalcy will probably resume from around the 10th or 12th. So again, Q3 will probably be almost a similar quarter to Q2 as far as the private business is concerned. So I think improvement will possibly start reflecting from quarter 4.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a clarification. You mentioned 12% volume growth in the domestic MDF segment, right?
That's correct.
And exports to be flat for the whole year.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. That's it for my question. Thanks.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
We thank everyone for joining this call. And we look forward to speaking to everyone again in the next quarter. If anyone has any further questions or clarifications, please feel free to reach out to us. We wish everyone a very belated Happy Diwali and stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of Green Panel, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.